A week solidarity bringing team listener when, well, weeks since we were last on air. Weeks when, no, years. Let's start with years. The Copernicus Climate Change Service, a European Union body, announced the past 8 years were the warmest on record, presuming, of course, there is such a thing as climate change. Reusers of the Lord Rupert of Wapping Media know the jury is still very much out on that one. But the government came up with the most brilliant lateral thinking plan to reduce our destruction of the planet with gas and coal, just in case there is such a thing, without stirring up the end of the world as we know it campaign it would stir up if it simply called for the great resource behemoths to reduce our destruction of the planet with gas and coal. Brilliant lateral thinking. Put a cap on the super, super, super duper obscene profits they have been making, reducing them to mere super duper obscene profits, and the great resource behemoths will then cry all over those super duper obscene profits that they can't possibly afford to continue exploring, developing, and providing their obscenely profitable contribution to the frying of the planet. See? What a brilliant strategy. On the other hand, an investment mob called Baron Joey said climate change, it's real when there's a quid to be made, climate change is good because having less coal mines will increase the price of coal and allow even more super, super, super duper obscene profits for those who own them. And BP, for Big Polluter, which advertises its greenwashing, green credentials, celebrated the report by announcing it will still be profiting from oil and coal and gas well beyond 2050, but no probs. They will be offset by planting a tree somewhere out the back of Bali. Meanwhile, the economic perfidy of the evil unions was exposed by their attack on the oh-so-neutrally balanced productivity commission, an essential in addressing slow wages growth for those unions, because caring employers keep telling us productivity is the key, proving workers are just so lazy and unproductive. Yet the bloody ACTU reckons the con mission is stacked with caring business class appointees who provide groupthink, a lack of balance and diversity. Yet to show its neutral independence, the con mission has recommended the power of evil unions destroying this country must be curtailed, and estimates the evil, evil, evil maritime unions are costing the economy $600 million a year. What could be more balanced than that? So evil the evil unions, but on one day during the break, the Troubler Aussie Capitalist Review had two news stories. One, a hospitality mob called Mantle, real name, which runs restaurants and pub chains and James Squire Brewery, owing workers trillions because its human relations department approved an agreement which bound all workers, denying them of penalty rates and lots of other crippling work practices. So severe the matter has been referred to the Director of Public Prosecutions for criminal charges. And two, a story about spotless for workers facing unfair dismissal claims over sacked workers in an Adelaide hospital. Two stories about non-evil caring employers, yet so evil are the unions that its editorial same day declared we must act to smash the power of unions who are destroying this country and the economy. And next to that, a deeply thought-through so-called think piece by a former Productivity Commission chair called Gary Banks, good name for a capitalist, who says the evil unions are afraid of unbiased advice. Unbiased advice like they should be smashed. Problems up at Alice Springs have been solved by former minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect and man of the people. No, let's rephrase that. Man of the filthy rich people, Alexander. If Indigenous people embrace the advantages of Western lifestyles, they will reap the rewards. Brilliant. No longer dirt poor blacks, but now dirt poor blacks just like dirt poor whites who embrace the advantages of Western lifestyles. And Alexander knows all about advantage. The good old Taliban women from university, a logical extension of their banishment from secondary school and then from working for aid organisations. Well, working at all, really, other than their sole role of satisfying male heterosexual desires. Following them being banned from parks and gyms and being forced to wear the full burqa with the face veil. All this from the fun Ministry for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. So obviously the problem is that the promotion of and prevention of boys know the presence of women will be an irresistible temptation for men. Therefore men are the problem. So there's the solution. Ban men. Then women can enjoy parks and gyms and schoolyards and campuses and wear what they like. Come on, Taliban, what's wrong with a bit of lateral thinking? Well, everything, apparently, because then the Taliban women altogether. On the great benefits of religious liberalism, the caring business class coalition supremo and would-be big supremo, Constable Peter Duffer, described the sadly lamented Cardinal George Appalling as a great, you know, like, intellect. But I'm not sure that was saying much, because from where Constable Duffer's coming, everyone's a giant intellect, like you know. One of Pete's predecessors, tiny a bit more for the bosses, told us George is a saint. We recommend Tiny head up the highway to Ballarat and set them straight, explain George's godly perfection. Oh, and Pete says we need more information if we are to vote on whether we recognise the first peoples of this country as people or not. The problem for Pete here, of course, is that when you get information, you have to be able to understand it. Pete also praises the great intellect and troubler, was he? Another sad, sad loss, serial warmonger Jim Maul and the bad guys, who knew troubler was his security depended 100% on sending train killers all over the world, where'er the US of the UN of the US of the world ordered us to slaughter the local population and destroy their environment. Who knew spending the public purse on anything but the excitingly and increasingly lethal merchandise of the merchants of death was a waste of those funds, and more seriously, shows the government is failing in its responsibility to defend us, its only responsibility. Big Supremo Anthony Albanese said train killer Jim's contribution would never be forgotten. We can only agree. The police are on a recruitment drive claiming applications have dropped dramatically. Unlikely, but maybe there's a bit of real humanity creeping into society. Anyway, they're going to follow up previous applicants who failed the test, which, when we think about it, indicates they must have an IQ of about one, or conversely, lots more than one. They asked me if I enjoyed framing people, and I said no. Then they asked if I enjoyed saturating them with capsicum spray and tear gas. And I said no. So they asked if I loved tasering people, and then if I enjoyed shooting people, and then if I enjoyed bashing and kicking the shit out of goody-goody greeny commie protesters. And I said no to all of them. So what happened? They said I was the worst applicant they'd ever known. Police investigated a complaint that police had capsicum sprayed a journalist during a protest and found there was no case to answer. So obviously he imagined he'd been sprayed. Over in the US, police disbanded the so-called Scorpion Unit after it murdered yet another young black man, but really they had no choice. The entire unit is behind bars. Poor New South Wales Supremo Dominic Parrotbrain copped a spray over wearing a Nazi uniform, but in fairness, having been sprung, he did say he thinks it was a bit of a mistake, whereas that Harry creature said his big-time doll-bludging brother made him do it. He remains as pure as the Virgin Mary. Meanwhile, after supporters of former Brazil Big Supremo Bolsonaro ran riot, US of Big Supremo Joe Biden Capitol told them to behave themselves. A bit of patience, he said. Surely you know our record when the people abuse democracy and elect the wrong person, the wrong government. Haven't you noticed Peru, for instance, getting rid of the long-haired commie? So a little bit of patience and we'll sort out liberty, freedom and democracy for you. In the week that was sport, Novak Djokovic turned up and said he forgives us. Well, let's just repeat that. Novak says he forgives us. Oh, but he can't forget. Perhaps we could forgive him if he forgets ever to come back. Playing on a site of working class history handed to the city's self-appointed elite by a socialist state government and propped up with trillions in public subsidies so the elite can enjoy a little luxurious leisure. The elite showing their appreciation by naming a court after John Kane, that rabid socialist who handed them the site of Yarrabang speakers, a political debate, and the destination for years of huge May Day marches. Now politics are banned, so the masses can enjoy the fun. So clearly, banning flags of certain countries we don't like and people wearing or waving those flags is not political. And after every game, the in-depth interviewers ask the winner to tell us how much they love playing here and how much they love us. And surprise, surprise, they all just love us. Gee! Then, of course, when they're eliminated, they can't wait to catch the first plane out to the next tournament where they'll tell them how much they love that place and love you guys. There was much national mourning led by the publicity machine which jingoistically whips up the expectation that if a player is a true blue Aussie, then we must love her or him, when a true blue Aussie who in the totally unlikable department is right up there with Novak's had a pull out. There was much national mourning led by the publicity machine which jingoistically whips up the expectation that if a player is a true blue Aussie, then we must love her, him, when a true blue Aussie who in the totally unlikable department is right up there with Novak's had a pull out. So that was some relief. Still, what would we do without those expert commentators? Like when the server is at 5-4, they inform us expertly that the person is serving for the set. Something we'd never realise without them. While during a women's semi-final, a US of invaluable expert enlightened us with the truly in-depth, Azarenka needs this to be a game of tennis, leaving us to ponder what the hell Azarenka and or her opponent, and us for that matter, thought they were playing. Then there was the cricket expert who informed us, I think they'll be trying to put big runs on the board. We'd never have thought of that. What will we do without them? Well, mostly watch it with the sound down, actually. Many of the filthy rich hangers-on at the tennis and those they seek to influence, like Anthony Albanese, were seen sitting next to tennis chair Jane Herdliker the Rich, providing oodles of luxurious freebies for the filthy rich, while in her day job as supremo of Virgin the Money Airline, she is offering oodles of poverty for workers who are complaining that a super generous 2.5% pay offer is a trifle below the inflation rate and therefore a real wage cut, just as Jane announces a huge profit, showing, finally, how selfish those workers are wanting to steal that profit from the poor shareholders. Don't forget, one worker's selfish pay rise is one shareholder's smaller dividend, showing the only thing that's changed is 22 to 23. Good morning.